Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the Pony Express.
Second and 13 for Kansas City. Mahomes, timing route, down the sideline. It's caught. Touchdown, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be awesome to welcome him back and bring him back and with the guys and get to work. And training camp's coming up here soon, so we're excited to be back on the field.
Coming from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Andrew Filippone, the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio. On this Sunday morning out west, thanks for finding me. Ian Eagle, CBS, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill. Saw that a lot last year, and we are now primed to see it again because of the decision the NFL made on Friday. Timing made a lot of sense. Friday, July, training camp hasn't kicked off yet. Still vacation time for a lot of people. Let's try to get this out there. And then it'll die down and people will get back to work on Monday and it'll still be a story, but by then it'll have lost some steam, some momentum. Tyreek Hill won't get suspended. We still don't know who broke his son's arm. We do know that he threatened his fiance on tape. We've heard that audio. This is a guy that has a very checkered past. Kicked out of Oklahoma State. Strangled his pregnant fiance. Punched his pregnant fiance. And then this situation arising after the Chiefs season ended and the NFL finally trying to put it to bed last week. There's no point in having a personal conduct policy if players like Tyreek Hill don't get suspended for this kind of thing. And so when I see this story, I believe that if Tyreek Hill doesn't get punished for damaging the NFL's brand, for besmirching the league, hurting the shield, the kind of expressions and phrases that get used in NFL press releases and statements when other players are suspended in violation of the personal conduct policy. If Tyreek Hill's not going to get disciplined for this, then I think the NFL should get out of the discipline business. Roger Goodell doesn't need a conviction. He doesn't need a district attorney to tell him what to do. Innocent until proven guilty, due process. Not in the court of Roger Goodell. And he's proven that in the past. Personal conduct policy has been around since 2007. I can give you high-profile cases where NFL players were disciplined, suspended, without even a charge. So I think this is a Pandora's box kind of deal. If Tyreek Hill can avoid punishment, even though we hear threats on tape, we know his past, his awful track record, the circumstances in which he entered the NFL under. If he gets a free pass, if he gets away with this scot-free, Explain to me how last year Ezekiel Elliott got suspended. How about Ben Roethlisberger before that? So then what changed? With Tyreek Hill, I think you'd rather be safe than sorry. And if Tyreek Hill has a bone to pick with you, if his lawyers get upset, if the NFLPA tries to fight you on it, sorry. Can't give you the benefit of the doubt because we've got evidence, we've got proof that you've been violent towards women in the past. And so this accusation was taken seriously by authorities. We don't need the same kind of preponderance of evidence to suspend you. You made our league look bad. The NFL needs to show Tyreek Hill that it's a privilege, not a right, to play in the league. And given his great talent, and given the talents of Patrick Mahomes, and the head coach in Kansas City, his ability to put together a dynamic offense, there's a really good chance the NFL is going to have to deal with the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill having another tremendous season. This situation going away will not affect Tyreek Hill's ability to prepare for a season in training camp, get ready for a season in limited preseason action, establish a relationship, increase his relationship, enhance his relationship with Mahomes. He's not going to be forced to leave the team and go somewhere for a few weeks in September with no access to team facilities, no access to playbooks, no lines of communication open between him and the team, no rust, no time off. The Chiefs aren't going to be put in a precarious spot where they have to find a way to win games without their best playmaker. The last thing I'd want if I'm the NFL, after your ratings had a big jump last year and things seem to be on the up and up, that the national anthem controversy and the Kaepernick controversy for the most part has faded away. The last thing I'd want is for the Chiefs, because of Tyreek Hill, to have another 13-3 season. He's an all-pro wide receiver, and now the NFL has to deal with Tyreek Hill now, later in January. If they go on a long postseason run and he is one of the stars, this is going to get repeated over and over again. So, consequences of your history, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, might not have video like with Ray Rice, but we have disturbing audio. And to me, that's enough. And the NFL's already had egg on its face before, where they've had to suspend players like Tom Brady for messing with, in their minds, the integrity of the game, fair play, and having it come back to bite them. Now I think they turn a blind eye to this and watch Tyreek Hill go out and have a 1,500-yard season, become a star in the NFL again this year. The Chiefs are just fine. Their loyalty to him gets rewarded. They go out and have a great season, and it's like, kid got injured, hurt. Well, that's bad, but let's put business first. What is the point in having a personal conduct policy if there's no discipline towards Tyreek Hill? And if you do have a personal conduct policy and Tyreek Hill doesn't get disciplined, well, then you've changed the standard for what gets a player suspended. Now you've really got to screw up. And we need tape like with Kareem Hunt, Ray Rice. Like, those are the only times now where the NFL is going to do anything more than investigate. Unless maybe they've got an axe to grind with Jerry Jones, or they want to even the score with Robert Kraft, or the Rooneys want Ben Roethlisberger to learn a lesson. In those cases, the NFL will push through discipline, even though there really is not a mountain of evidence to back it up. Imagine how bad the NFL will look if Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs have a great year. They'll look way worse than if they had handed out some heavy-handed punishment and let Tyreek Hill know that this is basically for him strike two, that he is one misstep away from pretty much getting kicked out of a league where we have players who, because they smoke pot, either to cope with injury or just because that's their lifestyle, they're not enhancing their level of performance at all. They're not cheating. They're not putting on muscle or using drugs to bounce back from injury. Those players get kicked out of the league, in some cases, forever. And Tyreek Hill can send out an apology letter thanking the Chiefs for sticking in his corner, and he's going to show up at training camp like, I just want to concentrate on football. That's behind me. And knowing how good of a player he is and the quarterback he has, they'll have a great year. No punishment, no consequences, just not even a reminder that this guy came into the league with one of the worst incidents on his record, and yet what you did in the past, in this case, for whatever reason, didn't have any relevance. So I want to get your thoughts. Now, the only people I think who would defend the NFL's decision on Tyreek Hill would be, there are two groups of people who would stick up for Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill fantasy football owners and Kansas City Chiefs fans. And that is the complete list. That's it. If you belong to either one of those clubs, then the Tyreek Hill news was a celebration, and you've probably gone out of your way to come up with reasons why he should be allowed to play. If he plays for your team, literally, fantasy, or figuratively, the team you root for. And that's it. It's all about precedent and the standard the NFL has, and players have been suspended for way less than this. So what changed? What caused Roger Goodell and his disciplinary people to say, well, in this case, we don't have enough. We don't want to either get sued by Hill or have another fight with the Players Association. So let's just punt on this one and let it go. Let's work out a new CBA. That's more important. Goodell's like big claim to fame is that he was going to clean up the NFL. And he did that for a few years. And then he started cherry picking some things. And then he would wait to see what the public backlash was on certain guys. He'd wait to see what the fan response or fan reaction was. And that would dictate his decision, say, like with Ray Rice or Kareem Hunt. You've got audio of Tyreek Hill saying to his fiance, "You should be terrified of me, bleep." You got a kid with a broken arm. Nobody knows what happened. Because his fiance won't cooperate. But if the authorities don't have enough, that doesn't mean that Roger Goodell has to take their word for it and has to twiddle his thumbs and do nothing about it. So I want to get your thoughts. If the Chiefs go on to have a great year, if Hill has an all-pro season, the NFL is going to look like crap. And they're going to look like a league that has, that gives certain teams and certain players preferential treatment, that has selective memory when it comes to who they discipline and who they don't. And the types of things they take seriously and the reasons why they've suspended players in the past. It's like you need a video to do it, and anything short of that, well, our hands are tied. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Unless you're a Chiefs fan or you own Tyreek Hill in fantasy, you should be put off, disgusted by this. And you're if you're a fan of another team, well now, if you're in the AFC West, if you're in the AFC, things just got a lot harder for you because one of the best players who shouldn't be eligible to play is going to be allowed to play from Jump Street. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. If you want to disagree with me, you're probably a Chiefs fan or fantasy football fan, and that's fine. I'll deal with that coming up next. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. I'm Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
And our telephone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Do fans even want the NFL to suspend players for what they do off the field? Do fans even care about that? Because a lot of the time, I feel like they don't want it. That they want the teams to make up their mind. They don't want it to come from Goodell. They don't trust Goodell with these types of things. Or they really don't care what players do in their personal life. As long as the player can score touchdowns or sack the quarterback, that's all they care about. Until something happens that is so offensive, fans demand punishment, discipline. Like, I think there are fans who get annoyed or get bothered by the NFL upholding some kind of moral or personal standard. And then something like Ray Rice happens. And then they want the league to throw the book at the guy. Or then something like Colin Kaepernick happens. And fans say he should get suspended for it. That's a violation of the personal conduct policy. He's not respecting the flag. He's not respecting his privilege to play football. He's disrespecting America. If he can't honor America, then he should go play in Canada, or he should leave the country. So I think it's a catch-22. I think fans, when stories like Tyreek Hill pop up, a lot of diehard football fans are like, enough about this. Talk about the games. Talk about who's going to win. Talk about who you like to win this division, or, you know, want like meat and potatoes football talk. But then if it's something that is virally offensive, like a video of a woman getting knocked out in an elevator, then they want Goodell to act. Or if it's a virally controversial act, like someone taking a knee during the anthem, then they want the commissioner to act. And the rest of the time, they're like, I think Goodell should just, you know, keep his nose out of everybody else's business. And in Hill's case, we have a viral audio clip. We have him telling his girlfriend that she should be terrified of him. Which maybe, if audio like that got out there involving another player, it would be taken less seriously. It wouldn't be taken literally. But given Tyreek Hill's track record, you have to take it for what it is. And so when a multi-million-dollar NFL player with a history of violence towards women makes that threat, I don't understand how the league does nothing about it. 855-212-4227. I'm Andrew Filippone. CBS Sports Radio, Sirius XM Channel 206. The radio.com app is one place to listen. You can go to cbssportsradio.com and get an entire list of our affiliates. Figure out where we are in your area. Here is Drew in Charlotte. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Drew.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, man.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Right? Yep, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, first of all, the first thing I want to say is CBS producers, hear me now. This man, Andrew Filippone, needs to be on 5 days a week. Somebody, whenever they retire, go to a new network, whenever that spot opens, put him in it. Because this man speaks the truth to the youth.
Thank you for that.
No, that's, don't even thank me, man. That's just what it is. That is the truth. Okay. Now, on this other topic that you've been rhapsodizing poetic on, man, like you are hitting everything except for one thing. I'm mad. I am mad. I'm pissed off. I am angry. I'm upset. I'm sad. It's making me feel all kinds of negative emotions that what happened with this guy apparently happened. But
right.
It's not the NFL we need to be mad at. It's the criminal justice system. It's twisted. You talk about cherry. I heard you use the phrase cherry picking. The criminal justice system cherry picks. It does not serve justice. It's largely run by privately owned corporate, just like most of the things in this country.
Well, think about this. We've had what have been, I think, by most of society deemed pretty vile acts, like Greg Hardy, the former Panther player where you are in Charlotte, Ray Rice, and Tyreek Hill. And in all those cases, you know, how many days did those three players spend behind bars? So, yeah, the criminal justice system standards are really high. But the NFL's different. Freedom versus the ability to make millions of dollars playing a game are two different things. So maybe investigators or authorities don't feel like they have enough to lock up Tyreek Hill. But Roger Goodell isn't held to that same standard. The same way someone might have done something wrong to you or might have hurt you in some way, and they're not going to jail for it, but that's not going to keep you from maybe suing that person in civil court and winning. So I was just led to believe, I'm just put off and perplexed because Roger Goodell, his first mission as commissioner was to like clean up the sport. And all the miscreants and people who gave the league a black eye, even if it wasn't a criminal case, were disciplined for it. And now it's completely random. Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended for 6 games with no conviction, and Tyreek Hill gets off scot-free. So when it's this inconsistent, when to somebody like me that tries my best to kind of study these things, when I can't make sense of it, something's wrong. And they've either got to come up with a personal conduct policy that doles out punishment equally and fairly, or get rid of it altogether. And I don't think people want to get rid of it altogether. Because if they do, then what happens to, say, Ray Rice? Teams are left to their own devices? 855-212-4227. Get more of your thoughts on this. Plus, way too early NFL predictions with training camps opening up across America. I'm Andrew Filippone, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. British Open coming down the home stretch.
This is the Pony Express.
I'm going to Vegas this week, and one of my favorite things to do when we get to the start of the football season, training camp, is start to look at some of the betting opportunities that exist for long-term football propositions, like NFL futures bets, season win totals, odds to make the playoffs, odds to win a division, odds to win the Super Bowl. And so the first thing I do when mapping out just some of my big picture thoughts on the NFL, one of the first things I do every year is I make a list of two types of teams. Teams that made the playoffs last year, who I think will be there again, and teams who missed the playoffs last season, who I think will bounce back and make it this year. Or maybe in the case of certain teams, end long playoff droughts. And I like to have an even number of teams on both lists. 12 teams make the playoffs, 6 in the AFC, 6 in the NFC. Year by year, it averages out this way. Most years, you have 6 teams who return to the NFL playoffs and 6 teams who get in after failing to make it the previous season. So, as I look at 2019 at large, who are the 6 teams who I think will go back to the playoffs, and who are the 6 teams who I think will return to the playoffs? Here are the 6 teams who I think will go back to the playoffs in 2019. The easy one is the Patriots, because they haven't missed since 2009. Tom Brady's overall numbers last year were down, but he turned it back on in the playoffs. He doesn't have Rob Gronkowski this year. And it's not like the Patriots went out and signed a tight end who makes you think that there's an in-house answer other than just doing it by committee, which is what the Patriots have done at running back since, like, Corey Dillon. But where there's a will, there's a way. They replace coordinators, they lose star players, and they find a way to make the playoffs and win the AFC East until they actually miss it and you see the erosion of once great players and all time, the best quarterback of all time and the best coach of all time. I'm going to pick the Patriots to win the AFC East again this year. The Colts are the team that I believe is best positioned to go from bounce back team in 18 to true contender in 19. Luck's second season removed from all of the arm issues and injuries. Justin Houston, by way of Kansas City, really good offensive line. They found a wide receiver to go with T.Y. Hilton, Devin Funchess. Ebron's back at tight end after leading all tight ends in touchdown receptions last year. I expect the defense will improve. The Colts will get back to the playoffs in 2019. Given the Tyreek Hill news, I'm picking the Chiefs to get back to the playoffs. I don't believe Patrick Mahomes will throw for 50 touchdowns again. I think he'll regress a little bit, but I trust Andy Reid to put a winning team on the field. 3 teams I have going back to the playoffs from the AFC: the Patriots, the Colts, and the Chiefs. In the NFC, I have the Eagles going back to the playoffs, really by default. I don't like that division at all. There's nothing about the NFC East that excites me. I think the Redskins might have some dark horse potential because they had awful quarterback play following the Alex Smith injury, and now you don't know what you have in Haskins. I'd go with him from day one. I wouldn't mess around with Case Keenum. If they do, that's a mistake. So I would, hey, he fell into your lap. He's the quarterback that Washington wanted. You've got some of the best offensive line coaching in the NFL with Callahan, and you've got not an offensive guru, but you've got a coach that's not a nitwit when it comes to coaching quarterbacks in Jay Gruden. So I think they should ride with Haskins if I'm the Redskins. But by default, I'm impressed with Doug Peterson. Carson Wentz struggled at times last year, but I'm going to bet on him to bounce back. So I'll take the Eagles in the NFC East. I like them more than the Cowboys there. And then I'll pick the Saints to make the playoffs again after getting robbed in the NFC Championship game. And then the other team that made the playoffs last year that I like to go back this year is Seattle because of what they've built on defense and Russell Wilson, highly efficient, one of the best passer ratings in the NFL last year, I think second to Drew Brees, or maybe third behind Brees and Mahomes. So that I don't have the Rams going back to the playoffs. I think Goff is ready for a down year. The Gurley thing is hanging over their heads. The defense, even under Wade Phillips and Aaron Donald, I think is going to be hard-pressed to repeat last year. So I've got them coming back down to earth. I have the Bears missing the playoffs. I have the Cowboys missing the playoffs. I don't believe in the Ravens and Lamar Jackson in year two. I think the Chargers having to pretty much play 16 road games, and we know the up and down nature of that franchise. They very rarely put two solid years together. I'm not picking them to make the playoffs. So those are the six returning teams I have going into training camp: New England, Indy, Kansas City in the AFC, Seattle, New Orleans, Philly in the NFC. Newcomers to the playoffs in 2019, this is what I've got. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. Math tells you, percentages tell you, every year, six teams in, six teams out from a year ago when putting together the playoff field for the upcoming season. So here's who I have getting back to the playoffs in 2019. I think the AFC pretty much stinks. And I've named for you the three teams that I think are tier one: New England, Indy, and Kansas City. The next wave of teams, you're going to have, in my opinion, at least two teams in the AFC this year who come completely out of nowhere to make the playoffs. And so the teams that I have pegged right now for that are completely long shot, out of nowhere teams, I've got the Jets making the playoffs, and I've got the Bengals making the playoffs. And the Bengals thing is the one that's going to make people say, are you on drugs right now? Before they were beset by all kinds of injuries, the Bengals had the best record in the AFC North last year. Then they lost a game to the Steelers. Dalton got injured. A.J. Green got injured. They had Jeff Driscoll making starts. They still had Marvin Lewis as their head coach. They still had the ticking time bomb, Vontaze Burfict. They've undergone a complete overhaul, finally. They've got a young coach, Taylor. They've got a young offensive coordinator, Callahan. Dalton has proven that he's good enough to take a team to the playoffs. A.J. Green's playing for a contract. I think Joe Mixon, he's a despicable person, or at least has a despicable incident on his record. I think he might... I could see him finishing the top two or three in rushing yards this year. And then defense, you still have Geno Atkins in the middle. They've got names that you recognize on that side of the ball. Former first-round picks, Kirkpatrick, Jackson at corner. I don't think they're a great team, but it's not out of the question that two 9-7 teams make the playoffs out of the AFC. And I got to take some flyers. They're a team that I think has a shot because of the coaching change. And the same with the Jets. The Jets, this is more of me banking, I think, on Darnold to be better. And you give him a legitimate running back, and I think Le'Veon Bell will be good. He'll help him in the passing game, little dump-offs, little flares, little screens. I think that'll make a big difference. Their wide receivers are nothing to brag about. But Bell, I think, will have an impact, and I think Mosley will too. And even though the coach is a nut job, we've seen Jet coaches like Rex Ryan get off to good starts there. We've seen them win in year one. So I'm not projecting long-term success for New York, but I think that Darnold will improve this year. I think the Bills are terrible. I think the Dolphins could go either way, depending on what happens at quarterback with Fitzpatrick and Rosen. So I think the Jets are going to be the second-best team in that division this year. The Browns, I think, are going to beat themselves, and that's why I'm picking the Steelers to win the AFC North. Again, it's not an extreme vote of confidence in them, but you'd move up to pick Devin Bush with the 10th pick. Their defense was 15th last year. It's another year of TJ Watt. Addition by subtraction to some extent by getting rid of Antonio Brown. I think Juju will be fine there. Steelers won 9 games, pretty much gagged and threw up on themselves and still got to 9 last year. I think maybe 9 or 10 wins that division. So I'm taking them. I think the Browns are just going to be a disaster. I don't buy them for a second. Their defense is overrated. What they did in the second half of last year is very overrated because they didn't beat any good teams. They beat all the bad teams on their schedule. We don't know if Kitchens is cut out to be a head coach, so I've got the Browns out. I've got 2 teams from that division, Cincy and Pittsburgh, making the playoffs. On the NFC side, I go to this well every year. I take Green Bay to win the North. LaFleur, you know, everyone's talking about how Roethlisberger's got an axe to grind and something to prove because Antonio Brown's gone. I think Aaron Rodgers is out to prove that Mike McCarthy was more of a hindrance and a liability than an asset. So free him up, give him a license to do what he wants. I expect huge things from him and the Packers. I don't think their defense is going to be great. Detroit, I'm not buying Chicago. I think that was a one-hit wonder last year. Trubisky is going to prove to be a terrible pick because they could have had Mahomes. Love the Falcons to bounce back this year. Their defense, their secondary was decimated by injuries. Matt Ryan, under the radar, 35 touchdowns, 7 picks last year. Great year under the radar. They're going to get Julio Jones a new contract. I think getting rid of Tevin Coleman will actually help them because now it's all Devontae Freeman. And my last team that bounces back is San Francisco. I'm buying Garoppolo in year 2. That team also crushed by injuries last year. All right, there you go. Early NFL predictions with training camps about to open. Coming up next, do we feel good about Tiger Woods' future with the majors wrapping up? It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.